Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good Tuesday morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thank you so much for being with us today. So, guess what today is? I didn't know it. I just kind of found it out like within the last 24 hours. But it's something we need to talk about. Today is National Voter Registration Day. And you're like, okay, so it's kind of early, but it's really not, because you got stuff you need to do to make sure that when you get ready to cast your ballot, that there's no dispute, that you're all set. And so we've got someone that's going to share some insight with us today. Her name is Danae Rivera-Marasco. She is the Communications and Community Outreach Coordinator with the Orange County Supervisor of Elections Office. Good morning, Danae. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you. Happy National Voter Registration Day.
Happy National Voter Registration Day, yes. Wow. You can't believe we're talking about this already. Well, and I can, but it's a good thing, because
yes,
things have changed even in the last couple of years, between last year and the upcoming year. And we really need to get everybody on board and on track so there's no dispute, there's no last minute, oh, I thought I vote, I'm supposed to vote here. Oh, I thought whatever someone thought.
Yes.
We want to get everybody straight. So give us some insight. What's going on?
Absolutely. Well, one of the most important things, if you are already registered, is to make sure that your registration is up to date, because we send a lot of notification about certain changes. For example, with redistricting, maybe after redistricting, which is underway as we speak, you will find yourself in a different district than what you're used to being in and voting in for the last 10 years. But if we don't have your updated address, we can't send you your updated voter ID card that has that information. So any changes that happen in that regard that we communicate to voters, we need to be able to reach you. So making sure your registration is up to date, and if you vote by mail, especially having your signature up to date is very important.
Sorry. So now, yes, a lot of redistricting going on, a lot of people moving into the area, and then also people really need to know, because around this time we start also getting, I guess you could say junk mail, but we get mail from people saying they can help us register the vote, or this is what you should do. What do we do about that? And does the Supervisor of Elections Office, for example, here in Orange County, do they send out, like, voter registration reminders? Is there something that we can expect to get from Orange County versus some other source?
Absolutely. So anything that comes from Orange County will have either our logo on it with the BilCal Supervisor of Elections information on it, and or an official election mail seal on the envelope. So a lot of times we run into that issue where, because a lot of campaigns and third-party organizations send a lot of information around election time, we get inundated with people thinking that we are sending them information, because sometimes, unfortunately, these third-party organizations sending information saying, hey, you're not registered to vote, have incorrect or outdated information, and then voters become concerned that maybe something happened to their registration. But that is not from our office. Our office will always have our logos, our contact information, and an official election mail seal on the envelope. Plus, you can always, always check with our office by calling in person or on our website, ocfelections.com, to check your information and make sure it's correct. And we will be sending out sometime in the near future a notice of elections, which will have information on the upcoming 2022 elections. It will have information about your vote-by-mail status, if you have a request on file or not, which may have changed due to Senate Bill 90. And we will also be sending out new voter information cards once the redistricting has completed and the new precincts are drawn.
Okay, so I know a lot of people are disturbed about the whole voting by mail thing, whether or not they'll still be able to vote by mail. If you voted by mail in the past, would there be anything preventing you from doing so in the future?
So there is nothing preventing you from voting by mail in the future, but there are some changes that you need to be aware of. Some voters may be used to their vote-by-mail request lasting for two general election cycles. That's how it was before Senate Bill 90. Now the law has changed, and it is good for one general election cycle. So some that may have requested a vote-by-mail ballot after last year's general election, originally it would have been good until the end of 2024. Now it is only good until the end of 2022. So making sure that voters are aware that their vote-by-mail request may expire earlier than they're used to, so it's important to check that information. The other aspect of it that has changed is that to make a new vote-by-mail request for an upcoming election, in addition to the other information that was already required, now it is also required to provide your Florida driver's license or ID card or the last four digits of your Social Security number with your request, depending on what we have on file with your registration. So if you're not sure what we have on file for you, you can always update your registration to include that information. We do have some voters here in Orange County who registered to vote prior to that information being on the voter registration application. So we do not have an ID number or Social Security number on file for them in order to process a vote-by-mail request. So they would need to update their voter registration to include one of those items of information in order to make a vote-by-mail request.
Okay. Now, vote-by-mail request. You can, let's go back to voter registration. You can register at the Orange County Tax Collector's locations, correct, where you get your driver's license and stuff like that? Is that correct?
Yes, you can register to vote at the DMV, at the tax collector's offices, as well as online at our office and at any public library.
So what's the difference between going to like a location versus registering online? What are the, I guess you could say, the pros and cons?
Well, one of the things about registering to vote online is that in order to register to vote online, you do need to have a Florida driver's license or ID. Because you cannot physically sign an application form online, your signature is pulled from DMV records when you register online. So if you do not have a state ID, you're not able to register online. So the pro of being able to register at a location in person on a registration application form is that you can provide the last four digits of your Social Security number instead of that information. Plus, on top of that, whenever you are registering or updating your registration on a physical application form, it's always good because you can also update your signature, and on a physical form is the only way to update your signature in the state of Florida to make sure that it will match, for example, if you vote by mail, your vote by mail signature on your return envelope. So that's really good. And in addition to that, you can always make a copy of that application or take a picture of it when you're filling it out in person and keep that record to compare, for example, your signature when you go to sign your vote by mail ballot.
Okay. So now, you know, obviously there's going to be the push for voter registration drive. I want to ask about the validity of voter registration drives in terms of what makes, say, a legitimate voter registration drive. What can you expect? Who's authorized to do what?
Absolutely. So there are many third-party registration organizations here in Florida. In order to be a legitimate third-party registration organization, they do have to register with the state. And the State Division of Elections office actually has a list of all current third-party registration organizations on their website. So if someone wanted to double-check that an organization speaking to them is registered with the state, they can check that website. And on top of that, all third-party registration organizations are required to have their number that identifies their organization on the back of the application forms that they are providing to citizens. And they are also required to provide certain information to those citizens, making sure they're aware of the different ways that they can return it, giving them the opportunity to take it with them and return it themselves instead of leaving it with the organization if they choose. And there's just a lot of requirements that these third-party organizations are required to provide and undergo.
So even a nonprofit with the best of intentions to go out there and register people to vote has to go through certain steps in order to be a legitimate organization to register people to vote, or, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, or they have to bring someone in to do it for them that's registered through the state, correct?
Correct. And that's why our office tries to have a lot of presence at certain places that are not able to do collection of registration forms. For example, it is not allowed for public schools to provide registration application to their students and then collect them and then turn them in bulk to our office. So we make sure that we have a presence at public schools as often as we can. For example, we're at a couple different public schools today doing registration drives so that our staff, who is allowed, can collect those applications and bring them straight back to our office.
Is there a list of these organizations or places that do these drives? Can someone access that so they'll know, you know, who's legitimate, who's not?
Absolutely. The State Division of Elections website, I'm not sure of the exact URL at this moment, but they have a third-party registration organization page that lists every single registered organization in the state of Florida. And if you want to visit our website to see where our office and our staff are going to be conducting registration drives, we have that available on our website as well.
So, now, getting the the other thing I want to ask about is collecting ballots. I know there's a big concern about collecting ballots and, you know, the what makes it legitimate versus illegitimate. Who handles whose ballot? Can we get clarification on that? Because I know there's also the urge to want to help the infirm who maybe can't get to a post office or can't get to a site to turn in their own ballot. There's the urge to try to help some of those people. At the same time, there are also predators out there that might want to do something to thwart, I guess, or impede the outcome of an election, and they think that by collecting ballots they might cause some harm that way. So can you talk a little bit about the collection of ballots?
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is to never give your ballot to someone that you don't know and trust. Our office will never, ever send someone to your home to collect a ballot for you. I know there's some concern that some people may pose as election staff for that purpose, and we just want to make it clear that we will never send anyone to your door. And the other thing I will say is that according to the law, a designee may return and pick up a vote-by-mail ballot for an immediate family member or legal guardian. And they can also return ballots for up to two people who are not immediate family members. So if you want to return the ballots of all your brothers and sisters and your parents and then maybe two of your neighbors, you're allowed to do that. But as far as bulk collection and return of a community's vote-by-mail ballots, that is not allowed.
Okay. So now let me ask, what makes – I'm going to start with registration and then I'm going to go to ballots. What can make your registration illegitimate and what can make your ballot illegitimate?
The main thing is an incomplete registration, which we have sometimes. There are certain required information. You have to affirm that you're a citizen of the United States, affirm that you're not a convicted felon, or that if you are, your rights have been restored, and confirm that you have not been adjudicated mentally incapacitated by a judge, or that if you have, your rights have been restored. So if you don't make any of those three affirmations, your registration will not be able to be processed. In addition, we do need a date of birth, first and last name, residential address, and either a state ID number or the last four digits of your Social Security number and your signature. So if any of that information is missing or incorrect, it will be an incomplete registration. Depending on what was left off and what was incorrect, you would receive a letter in the mail stating that we were not able to process your application. So we don't just mark it as incomplete and then never tell you anything. We will try to communicate with you as much as we can to let you know that we weren't able to complete your registration and to give you a chance to provide additional proof of identity or information in order to make that registration complete. So that's on the registration side. You want to make sure that you fill in all the required information and sign it and return it to our office or to a public library or a tax collector. As far as vote by mail, the main thing is signing the return envelope and making sure as much as you can that your signature matches the signature that we have on file. So if for some reason your signature is missing or does not match the signature we have on file, the voter has up until 5 p.m., 2 days after the election, to submit a cure affidavit in order to allow us to process and count that vote-by-mail ballot.
Okay. So from the Supervisor of Elections Office perspective, what are some of your major concerns, especially with the upcoming election?
Well, we just want to make sure that people are keeping themselves informed. There are a lot of changes happening, so our main concern are people maybe showing up to the same polling place they've always voted at and then realizing they don't live in that precinct anymore because of redistricting, and then either having to run around to find their new polling place or for some reason not being able to vote because they're not able to get to that new polling place. So we want to make sure that voters are informed and educating themselves as far as these changes with redistricting, making sure their address are up to date so they receive the communication that we send to them. You know, another concern is people not realizing their vote by mail ballot and realizing too late that they're not going to get one and that they can't request one, and then they have to change course. So our main concern is voters not knowing about these changes until it's too late.
Okay. So I was also curious about with the population growth and change, and I know at one point in time you consolidated some of the precincts. Are you finding now that you're having to set up new precincts now and not consolidate anymore? Or what is going on with that?
Well, we are still waiting on all the other levels of government to redraw their maps and before we redraw our precinct structure after redistricting. So it's going to depend on a lot of factors. It's still very much an ongoing process. the Board of County Commissioners are continuously meeting to redraw their maps, and that is ongoing. Our precinct structure is pretty much the last map that gets drawn, and we have to balance a lot of things. You know, voters are shifting to early voting and vote by mail over election day. So should we prioritize?
Especially with COVID and social distancing and all of that.
Absolutely. And it was a shift that was steadily happening over the past several elections. We could see that with our data, but it was a much more dramatic jump and shift in the 2020 general election compared to previous years. Now, the question is that shift going to maintain at that level? Is it going, is there going to be more of a shift back to election day voting? And those are, you know, factors are going to influence how we decide how big or how small to draw our precincts.
Okay. So, when is the deadline? You were saying a lot of it hinges on decisions in terms of redistricting and everything. So what is the deadline that you're waiting for before you can do what you need to do?
Well, we're waiting on the maps from the other levels of government, so congressional maps, state senate maps, board of county commissioner maps, things like that, because how those maps fall in our county will also determine in terms of how we draw our precincts. And I know this is getting a little more technical and it might not make a lot of
sense. It makes perfect sense. But that's what I was wondering, because you're saying, well, we're waiting. I'm like, well, gosh, you know, we need to light a fire into some of these people to kind of get things settled so that you can do what you need to do. So.
Right. Well, it was affected a lot by COVID. You know, redistricting is dependent on the census numbers, which were pushed back because of COVID. So then the data reporting deadline was pushed back. So then and it's a very much a domino effect from the top down, and we're very much on the down side of that thing.
Right.
So we need to wait on all those top-level things, and everything having been delayed did affect it, so it is much more pushed back than it has been in previous redistricting years. But we're very much working on it and ready to, you know, making those preparations to send the new voter ID cards as soon as those maps are drawn, and sending out notice of elections to inform people about the 2022 election. And people can always call our office to get more information on that process. We have a dedicated mapping department that works on those issues, and they are always available to answer the more nitty-gritty questions on redistricting and map drawing.
So I know there's a lot of people who have eyes on you all right now, because I even got a call like within the last couple of days from someone who worked at a precinct where I was clerk briefly, and it was like, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, are they hiring, you know, are they still using volunteers, you know, I want to know when the elections are and all of that. So I know a lot of people have eyes on you all right now. Are there dates out right now that people can kind of put in their calendar for next year?
Absolutely. There are going to be, depending on where you live in Orange County, three elections next year. There are going to be municipal elections on March 5th for the town of Eatonville, and for Apopka, Belle Isle, Edgewood, Maitland, Oakland, Windermere, and Winter Park. There are going to be elections on March 8th. Now, the important thing, too, for those is to remember the deadline to register to vote for new registrations is 29 days prior, so that's going to be in early February is the deadline. If you've never registered to vote in the state of Florida before, your deadline to register in order to vote in those elections. And then the other two elections are going to be the primary election on August 23rd and the general election on November 8th, and that's going to be for governor, U.S. senator, and a lot of other things. And I will also say again, the deadline to register is 29 days prior if you've never been registered in Florida before. And on the primary election, Florida is a closed primary state, So if you are not registered with a party that is having a primary election, you will not be able to vote on those candidates, and you would only be able to vote on the candidates for the party which you are affiliated with. And the deadline to change your party affiliation is also 29 days before the primary election.
And I know that's a hot topic of debate.
Yes.
I do, because, you know, we have people, you know, like I said, I've worked the precincts, and we've had people come up, this is stupid. I don't know why they It's like, you know, I mean, now I was a party affiliate. I'm not affiliated with a party anymore, but I understand it. I'm in total agreement with the close primary thing. That's, and I know you can't comment on that, but that's just me. I'm putting that out there. Because, I'm like, okay.
Well, I would say for anyone that has opinions on that, that is a talk to your legislature thing. That is not our decision.
Right. But I'm just saying, if I'm a member of Party A, I don't necessarily want someone from Party B coming in and having influence or impact on what my party wants to have happen in the election.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know also I've heard that there are some people who, and I'm not trying to put it out there for anybody to actually do, but
sure.
Do change parties in order to have a say in some of the primaries.
Yeah, that happens.
Do you see a lot of that changing back and forth? Are there stats to kind of show any of that happening that you know
well,
of?
Well, I don't have the stats in front of me, but we do have stats on party changes. As far as the reason for the party change, obviously we have no way of knowing, and we would never ask. So it is hard to say. We do know anecdotally of some people that is the case, where they may switch their party affiliation for that particular election, depending on what party has what on their ballot, and then we'll switch it back after. The party affiliation will not affect any other election you would vote on. It really only affects you for the primary election. So I don't know. A lot of people have their own various reasons for changing their party affiliation back and forth, and it does happen for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Okay. I won't comment anymore on that for right now. But, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with the closed primary. That's just me. But I think there's legitimate reasons for closed primaries. But whether or not you agree with
that,
it's just the way you
Well, that's not for me to say. But I will say, and it's not necessarily an issue, but with the closed primary, like with many of our election laws here in Florida, it can be a little confusing because we, especially in Central Florida, have such a transient community, people coming from all over the country, moving in and out constantly. And every state has different deadlines and different election laws. So part of the challenge with voter education that we have to do constantly because of this is people coming from another state and assuming that our elections work exactly the same as where they moved from. And so they might not realize until election day that they have to be affiliated with a party to vote in the primary election. And that is a challenge.
Does the county offer, you mentioned voter education, does the county offer voter education classes? Because, and the reason I ask, because I've always been one of those that thought, just like, well, I come from the ancient days where they used to have driver's ed in high school. So I always believed that a person should have driver's ed before they actually can get on the road and drive with people. I think there's a lot of people out there that could use a good dose of driver education. And I think there's a good amount of people out there that can use a good dose of voter education. Does the county offer anything like that?
Well, we don't offer a specific class per se, but we do have an option, and people visiting our website, I'll reiterate again, it's OCSElections with an S at the end, .com. On our website, under resources, you can see different outreach stuff that we do, and we offer presentations, and we can tailor the presentation to your group or the school or whoever it may be. It can be specifically about you know, the nitty-gritty deadlines and requirements. It can be about the levels of government. It can be about our Adopt-a-Precinct program and things like that. So we do have an option for someone or an organization to request a speaker, and we do make an effort to be in classrooms, because the earlier we can educate our citizens about the voting process and the importance of voting and registering, the better. So we go to schools to do registration drives, we go to civics classes and do presentations and things like that.
And, oh, yes, please talk about the Adopt a Precinct, because I'm a big fan of that one. So,
Yes, me too. I would love to.
Yeah. So tell everybody about Adopt a Precinct.
Absolutely. Well, the Adopt a Precinct program, it started in 1998, and it's evolved and grown so much from then. But basically what it is your organization can adopt a precinct, and then your organization from your members staff that precinct's polling place on election day. Instead of us recruiting 10 different individual poll workers and paying 10 individual people to staff that polling place, your organization adopts that polling place, staffs it from your members, and then the combined pay of what each of those individuals would have gotten individually is put together in one check to the organization. So then the organization will use Adopt a Precinct as a fundraiser and put that money into scholarships for the community, building new facilities, things like that. So it's a great fundraiser for organizations. It alleviates some pressure on our side from recruiting multiple individual poll workers, and it allows the tax dollars that fund our office to go back into the community.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I am a big fan of that program, and I really think it's a very helpful, you know, like you said, for the community, for you guys, and also for the organization that's doing it. So,
absolutely.
That's a great thing. So, I know I said only keep you half an hour, so I'm going to let you go, but is there anything else, any last minute tips that you want everybody to know?
I just want to reiterate that it's National Voter Registration Day, so if you can, take a few minutes to register, update your registration, or encourage those around you to get registered.
And update your IDs. Yeah, that's the key thing. You got to update the ID first, because there are a lot of changes coming up with these IDs. I've got to do mine within the next few months, so please make sure you're updating your ID with the correct address information, so that, you know, everybody, you know, knows and you're voting at the right place. So.
Danae, really appreciate your time.
Of course, I appreciate you discussing this topic and having me to discuss these things with you. Really, really appreciate it.
And best wishes for a successful 2022 election year.
Thank you very much.
And so we're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions or comments, topic you want to discuss, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Hey there, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we want to thank again Danae Rivera-Marasco, who is the Communications and Community Outreach Coordinator with Orange County Supervisor of Elections. Today is National Voter Registration Day. So yes, if you haven't registered or if you need to update your registration, please do that. And you can do it online. But before you do that, please go and make sure that everything is correct on your ID, because that's going to be relevant. That's going to be pertinent. So, you know, make sure your address is, your name, because they even get that wrong sometimes. Your name's correct on your ID. Your address is correct on your ID. Date of birth is correct on your ID. Anything that you're going to submit to verify you are who you are when you register to vote, make sure that, all of that is correct. So time to go ahead and get that updated, the ID updated, and then the voter registration updated, so that you're all ready to go when they give you the word that this is where you're going to have to go vote. This is your new district. You know, some of you may be staying in the same district. Some of you will be voting in a new district. Also, if you are a nonprofit, as Danae was saying, you know, they have the Adopt a Precinct program. So if you're looking for fundraisers, hey, this is a pretty, well, I say easy, but I've been working the elections for a while. But still, one day outside of doing training, one day to just then go and make sure that people are doing their civic duty and you know, collect a check for your organization and do the good that you do through your organization. So consider the Adopt a Precinct program. I think it's a very good program. Anyway, we're going to have a short show today, unless you've got questions, comments, concerns, or whatever. If you have ideas for a show or you have questions about a topic we've covered before, hit me up on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, and please let me know. We're always looking for new guests and new topics, and we're also looking for advertisers as well. So, but anyway, thank you for joining us. This week, don't forget, Friday is the 1st of October, 50 years of Disney World here in Central Florida. So they're celebrating the anniversary on Friday, October 1st. And also that is our first Friday of the month, in which we talk about the economy with Paul Lee Shelton of Warwickshore. So he'll be on. So if you have any questions regarding any economic issues, you know, he's a person, so you can submit those questions as well. But we are going to go. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Get up on your feet in here. Woo!